Moncrief on News Talk.
Michael George is with me now, though. He is a managing partner of Raspail Partners in New York. Michael, you're very, very welcome to the show. Were you surprised by the nature of what was announced last night by Donald Trump, or is it what you and your colleagues in the financial sector were expecting?
Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for having me on. Was I surprised? Probably a little bit. A little bit harsher than maybe we'd been looking for, but we knew that he was going to apply some sort of tariffs. Donald seems to be interested in breaking glass and trying picking the pieces up afterward. It seems like more of a call for negotiation. We'd hope rather than a declaration of war.
A call for negotiation that causes markets to dip and dip quite precipitously in some cases. I mean,
if it was a call for negotiation, which is what we hope it is, it certainly wasn't communicated as sort of as efficiently as one would hope.
Yeah, lots of people on this side of the pond, I guess, are trying to quantify it or trying to understand how damaging it might be, and some comparisons have been made with 2008 to 2010 global financial crash. It feels a little more, and I wonder what you think about this, it feels a little more like the day after the Brexit vote, where we knew there was potentially something damaging coming, like long-term damaging, but, you know, with a bit of rationality and a bit of reasoned debate, the damage might not be as bad as we all fear.
Well, if you listen to what the administration people said post the announcements, they certainly will be talking to the various trade ministers and PMs around Europe and the globe. And it seems to me that they want to talk to people to try to avoid retaliation and to try to encourage them to sort of lower the barriers rather than put up more. Now, the one thing that I'll tell you about yesterday that people were a little surprised about was the calculation of the effect of tariffs. People seemed to be a little bit confused as to what they were actually referring to and the methodology that they used. For instance, the Chinese 65% or whatever it was, and some countries that don't actually have tariffs were accused of having, you know, 20-25% tariffs, whatever. And the methodology that was used is a little controversial in that, in terms of they sort of worked out what they thought the effective tariffs were, that were not basically non-financial things such as restrictions that restricted products hitting the market, sort of countries that use their weak foreign, sort of manipulated their foreign currency to be low, that resulted in trade deficits for the US. So how that methodology was calculated, it has been pretty controversial and has been debated in the US. So I think they're going to try to get their heads around that over the course of the next couple of weeks.
I guess, again, it also speaks to the confusion. We don't know to what degree Donald Trump and those around them really buy into those figures either. You know, as in it looks good on a chart, and that might be simply the reason they did it. You know, where or the other end of the spectrum is they absolutely think those are the real figures. You know, when you take into account monetary manipulation and effective tariffs and VAT in a European context. And if that's true, then that's really problematic for European negotiators, because there's not much we can do about VAT.
Yeah, well, you could exclude US products from VAT. That's one thing you could do, right? You know, the accusation today from Ludnick was that tick for autos, for instance, the US and European cars are charged VAT, but then the European auto manufacturers are basically get backdoor subsidies through either cheap power or cheap aluminium or whatever. Or even just direct subsidies. I don't know whether that's true or not. He seemed to think it is. The way to solve that is to just give some sort of lower VAT to the US products to make that up. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things you can negotiate. Whether they're going to get there or not, it's another matter.
So do you suspect that you're not striking an entirely kind of gloomy note? Do you suspect that with negotiation, we're not necessarily entering into an era of global protectionism? That's what some people are talking about.
Well, here's I actually think it could go the other way. I know it sounds a little bit ridiculous today, but the US has a pretty substantial trade deficit. I know that they want to lower that. Okay, so lowering that trade deficit, you can do it a few different ways. You said you can become protectionist, which obviously no one wants. It doesn't work in anyone. It doesn't work for anybody. Or overseas countries, Asia and Europe particularly, could actually buy more US products. And for that to happen, you have to have a reconfiguration in the global terms of trade, which means that the products have to be, Europe and other markets have to be open for US products. Now, the challenge then is, does anyone want the US products? Something Ludwig mentioned this morning was that US beef, well, I can't see anyone in Europe wanting the US beef as is currently produced. It's, you know, full of hormones. It's not accepted in Europe. Chlorinated chicken, not accepted. So obviously they wouldn't want that. Does anyone want US cars other than Teslas? Probably not.
No, so, they tried to sell Chevrolets here about 10 years ago in the tank.
Yeah, that wouldn't work. But like similarly, does anyone want French cars in the US? No, French cars are terrible as well. So there are things that we could sell. We could sell more GE jet engines, for instance, right? I mean, Airbus is protected. So there are certain things that the US people could sell. The way to decrease the deficit is there are a few different ways of doing it. Obviously, protectionism is the worst way, but you could do things like depreciate the dollar, make the US products more attractive just from a price perspective. I don't think that's going to happen because the dollar is, you know, the world reserve currency. I think Trump probably wants a strong dollar, but there are definitely people within the administration who'd want a weaker dollar. So not totally sure what happens there, but the other way of doing it without lowering the dollar would be to sort of remove some of the subsidies that the Europeans enjoy and open up the markets so that US can sell whatever products we might have into those markets. So there are definitely things to do. I don't think that the, you know, just lowering the tariffs per se, I don't think that's for US products into Europe. I think they want a little bit more than that.
All right.
They want to remove some of the barriers.
Michael, thanks so many for joining us. Michael George is managing partner of Raspa Partners in New York City. We're heading into a recession. We must stop unnecessary spending, says one listener who is absolutely buying into the doom and gloom. You may be right.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.